một trong của, một của arising from the usual chapter that is then under consideration this week. And in Mark 4, when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. They want to know the explanation of what he's been talking about in parable. And he said unto them, unto you is given the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all things are done in parable, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest haply they should turn again, and it should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how shall ye know all the parables? Look at verse 33. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear. And without a parable spake he not unto them, but privately to his own disciples he expounded all things. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 51. Our Savior speaks to his disciples and says, have you understood all these things? And they're answering the Lord, yea. Verse 52. And he said unto them, therefore, every scribe who has been made a disciple to the kingdom of heaven was like unto a man that is an householder, who bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old.
And he read verse 52 again. And he said unto them, therefore, every scribe who has been made a disciple to the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, who bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. And it came to pass, and Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from it. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Mm-hmm.
Our Father, we are thankful for the Son that you sent from heaven. Let a man speak like this man. We have read some of the things that he said in the scriptures this morning. We pray that we may understand the answers of thy word with his life. We pray, Father, that it will not be spoken as it was concerning the Son. This is the condemnation, that life is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. By thy Spirit, as able to make us, even though we are darkness and are under the control of Satan, the God of this world, thou art able to make us responsive to the light, and so by thy Spirit, do that very thing, and cleanse us from sins and impurities as you promised to do, if we confess our sins. And our Father, the power, that the word may be spoken, not in word only, but in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance. Bless us for the things we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And what I told you in past weeks, if you have read the account in Mark 4, as well as in Matthew 13, on this one occasion, our Lord has spoken no less than 10 parables and their parabolic application. 10 parables. And having finished with 9 of the parables, he asked his disciples a question. Have you understood all these things?
Think on that a moment.
Our Lord speaks 9 parables, and he asks the question, have you understood all these things? Do you understand the expectation that our Lord has of his disciples? I'm afraid that the attitude of most of God's people, and here I'm guilty on the other side, is, well, if I can get just a little bit, if I can get a kernel or two a week when I go out to hear preaching, all is well. I'm satisfied, and Christ will not be too hard on me. But you're wrong. We understand that Christ expects complete understanding of all that he says. You say, how can that be? That's why I read the verse to you twice. He said, have you understood all that I've spoken unto you? Quite often when you come and speak to me, ask the meeting, your response is, you gave me too much. I didn't understand. And my guilt is this. Well, did you get the drift on it? Yes, I got the drift on it. Well, that's good. And I let it go. But I have failed, and he has failed. Because what I usually do is to follow the example of the Savior in giving you not more than you can understand, but more than you have exercised your heart to understand. And if I gave you less, I would be remiss and I would be committing an injustice because I had great treasure that I could give to you. But instead of giving you a great treasure of silver and gold, I hold out a few coppers and say, well, accept these. And if you were to accept anything less than what I attempt to give you each Lord's Day morning, it would be close on your part. For this reason, the example, the precedent that is set before, is our Savior expecting his disciples to understand all that he spoke unto them. And if your reply is, well, this is a special class, these are his apostles, let me tell you the description of his apostles in the book of Acts. It says that those to whom his apostles were speaking listened to them, and they understood that they were ignorant and unlearned fishermen. Do you understand that? Anybody here inferior to ignorant and unlearned fishermen, intellectually? And don't say, oh yes, I am. If I told you, you are worse than an ignorant and unlearned fisherman, you will become indignant. And it says that the people who heard John and Peter speak, they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned fishermen. And of this type of man, with that limited comprehension, the Savior turned to them and said, have you understood all these things? And so what is your excuse in my understanding? And what is my excuse if I ever cut down on the amount of material and is God able, the quality and expectation of things that I expect to hear you here at Faith Bible Fellowship? Would you like it more? Some more. I know when people have spoken, they are comparing preachers at times, and they will say, well, this preacher tells stories. He makes it simple. He breaks it small. Well, you follow the teachings of the Lord. In the parables that he spoke, has he done that? And you say, no. In fact, what happens is this. As you know, I run every week. And quite often, I take younger men running with me. And as we start running, I'm just running at a moderate pace, but these younger men will be huffing and puffing and saying, you're running too fast. And I turn around and say, no, you're running too slow. And what I'm afraid is that you have not exercised yourself unto God. When these young people that are running with me get in the train, then before long I would be behind them and say, you're running too fast. But until a man exercises, he is not able to put forth his best effort. And because of that, he says, I can't do it. This is my pace. No, that is the pace he has accepted, and that is the pace of flow it is unworthy of. And in like manner, most of the people of God accept a pace that is unworthy of their ability and Christ's expectation of them. And I say this of you. The Lord said to his disciples, I've spoken 9 parables. Have you understood all these things? And they answered, yes. And so they're to be congratulated. The Lord spoke 9 parables. He accepts their answer that they had understood those parables, and then he gives a parabolic explanation. Well, what does this mean? It means that when you come out to a service like the one today, that your mind is to be in gear and you are to think, because you cannot understand unless you think. And your attention span is to be until 12 o'clock, because usually you can count on it. You may stop thinking at 12 o'clock. That's when I'm going to stop speaking. But until then, you must think, because if not, if I had spoken 10 parables and you've been distracted, you've looked around, you've yawned, you've lost your attention span, then while I was speaking on some parables, you may have understood 7 of 10. But you cannot understand the 10 and the 7 properly unless you understand the 10. That is why I read you from Mark chapter 4. The Savior said, do you not understand this parable? How can you understand all the parables? And one parable instructs us as to the next parable. And having come to the 9 parables, the Savior says, have you understood all these things? And we cannot understand these things. And this is what happens. We understand a part, but Christ says, you must understand the whole. And if you say, well, it's too much for me, I say that you are wrong. Because in what I have told you as to the 10 parables in Matthew 13, it says the Savior spoke to them as they were able to hear. The Savior knows the pace. Just as Jacob in the Old Testament was a shepherd, and he knew not to drive the cattle too fast, he knew about the young, he knew the pace at which they could travel. So in like manner, the Lord Jesus knew the pace at which the disciples were able to understand what he spoke. And it says he spoke to them as they were able to do. And what I'm telling you are able to do. How long have you been saved? For you who confess a number of years, it is a confession of shame, because you are confessing that all of this time you could have been exercising yourself under godliness, that you have not. And if I asked you to name the 10 parables, could you even name the 10 parables that I've given you over the week? I don't know if I can. Then if you cannot even name the parables, how can you have understood all that Christ spoke of you? You say, this is expecting too much. That is why I read to you elsewhere from the Gospel of Mark. For this reason, the Lord, on an occasion, said offhandedly, he said, beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees. And that's all he said. And then the minds of the apostles started thinking, we only had 1 loaf of bread. He was using us because we only had 1 loaf of bread. And he said, when the Savior perceived it, he began to reprimand them. And he said to them, he said, have you your heart hardened? He said, do you have ears and hear not, eyes and see not? Do you not yet understand? And he attacked their reason. He said, I have fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and I have fed 4,000 with 7 loaves. And you are concerned about having 1 loaf of bread. That is your fault. that I am concerned about one loaf of bread being all that we have? And then they understood he wasn't talking about bread at all. He was talking about the teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees. The reason that he rebuked them is that they were committing themselves to think in a manner that Christ's previous teaching had not taught them to follow. And this is what Christ expects. He expects you to go from strength to strength. If the Savior had fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, I am never to be concerned about the provision of my daily bread. Never again am I to say, can you prepare a table in the wilderness? I may wonder, are you going to give me my daily bread? But never can you do it, and God is certain that he's not able to provide my temple needs. I'm never to think that way again. If he has said 5,000 and 4,000, I'm never to let my mind think, can Christ give me my daily bread? I may think, is this the time? Because the Lord Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. It is not that he could not provide bread. It is that he would not at that time. And then God sent angels and they ministered to him. You may ask the question, is this the time, Lord? But never are you able to feed so many in the wilderness. And the Lord upbraids them. He knows what they are able to hear. And he knows the way that you're supposed to think. And that is why I have insisted in the past week that you follow a prescribed line of reasoning, because the Savior insisted. He has given one parable after another. And if you understand the first parable, then you may understand the second parable. But if you do not understand the first, you cannot understand the second. And so forth. And there is one thing that I regret, and yet it's in the will of God, it is this, that our Savior gave interpretation of 3 of these parables, and I've read those avidly, but it says that when he was alone with his disciples, he gave them an explanation of all the parables. I would love it so much if I had recorded his explanation of all the parables. But if that's so, then I would not have had to study as I did to look at the 3 parables that he has interpreted for me and to see from them the line of interpretation. And yeah. And so this is what I'm doing today. I'm challenging you, and I'm not going to be merciful anymore, perhaps. If you say, I don't understand all that you're telling me, you've given us so much, you can't expect me to understand it all, then I'm guilty if I'm going to say, well, you got the gist of it, didn't you? Yes. Because it may be that I'm not running too fast, but you are running too slow. And if you exercise yourself unto godliness, then you would understand. This is the privilege that the disciples had. When he taught them, even though it was given to them to understand, they did not miraculously understand. But when he was alone with them in the house, they said, explain to us this parable. And the Savior explained what he preached. And so this, had you understood all things, means that they listen to the Savior. And some things they understand. And the things they do not understand, they go and ask the Savior about these things. Because he answers those questions. And if they have more questions, he patiently answers those questions. And so there is a process of learning. He teaches, they comprehend, they question, he gives more explanation, and they are without excuse at the end. Because just as they asked at the parable previously when they did not understand them, so he said, have you understood all things? He does not say, I'm not going to tell you anymore, I insist that you understand. But he said, now, there is an opening for questions. Do you understand? And they said, yes. And so from now on, if there are things that you do not understand, then you may come and ask. And if after you ask, and I tell you, it is a matter of your not going home and committing to memory the principles of interpretation.
the things that I give.
If you do not know the interpretation of the parable of the sower and of the wheat and the tares and of the net cast into the sea, you are without excuse because the Savior has given
that interpretation.
If you do not have the interpretation of the mustard seed or the treasure or the pearl, that is more or tolerable for the simple reason that it requires sophisticated thinking and a person to be in. But the Savior has left out nothing. He says, have you understood all of these things? And the marvel is, the disciple said, yea, congratulations. I want to congratulate them because they have thought and they have been interested in what the Savior said, and they went into the house and said, explain to us these things. How thrilling when someone has a genuine interest and asks the question, and you know that they've been thinking, and that you can give them assistance, and they will understand more. But how depressing when, as the Savior experienced, he talked, and then it was hidden from their eyes, because he understands that Satan, like the birds of the air, have come down and snatched the seed out of their heart. And he says, they have no understanding. They do not understand what I'm talking about. That is depressing. But one of the most encouraging things is when you see a young Christian growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it requires attention. It requires questions. It requires added thought. It requires more thought than you're coming here for 30 or 40 minutes once or twice a week. And you say, well, I have it all. It's going to take more than that. I give you the interpretation, but I never have time to say everything that I could say. But you may go home and think on it. And afterwards, you may come back. And so that is your privilege. If the disciples asked the Savior at some point they did not understand, that is the privilege of all of you to ask those that God has given you as teachers, give me an explanation. But woe unto you if you ask a question that you could be able to answer. You say, well, what do those birds of the heavens symbolize? I'm going to rebuke you. You say, well, what are the tares in the field? I'm going to rebuke you. And if you say, well, what are those who separate the good fish from the bad fish? I'm going to rebuke you. Because the Savior says, the angels shall come forth and separate the good from the bad. He says, the tares of the Son of the kingdom. That is why. Some things you may know. But if you say, what is that pearl? Then I will sympathize with you. What is that treasure? I will sympathize. Because you have to go outside of Matthew 13 for a hint from the Old and the New Testament to understand the significance of that. And for that reason, the disciples have said, yes, we have understood everything you told us thus far. And the therefore, in the verse that I read you, is only after a twofold progress has been made. When he speaks the first parable, all are in a lost condition. The sower goes forth to sow, and he sows his seed upon poor soil. And only one of those soils is productive. And if that soil is productive, then they are taken out of the category of those that are on the outside, and they become those that are on the inside. They understand. But after that, the Savior says, you are to start learning. You're no longer an outsider, but you have become a scribe. And it says, every scribe that has been made a disciple to the kingdom of heaven is like unto. But you only become a disciple after you have been saved, and after you have been taught, and after you have comprehended all that Christ said. First we are lost, and the word of God comes to us, and the light of the gospel of the grace of God floods our souls, and we see ourselves as sinners in Christ as the Savior, and we trust in the Savior. And then we are taken out of darkness into God's marvelous light. But then there is a process of learning. We are scribes in the first instance, and Christ teaches us more. He does not give us the gospel for salvation, but he gives us teaching and truth for expansion. And then, having been taught as scribes, after so many lessons, he says, have you understood all of these things? And they say, yea. He says, every scribe then that has learned is like unto a man that's a householder, and he goes on and so forth. And so from an outsider to a scribe to a disciple of the kingdom of heaven. Now, in what category are you? There may be some who are lost here this morning. Then you're still on the outside. The Savior speaks of those that are without. You haven't been brought by the light of the knowledge of God to the inside. And it may be that you're on the inside, but you are one who does not apply himself. And because of that, you are just a scribe, and you're satisfied with being a scribe. But the Lord says, have you understood all of these things? And many times I do not spend time with those who do not want to learn, because this is what Paul said to Timothy. It says, the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And if you find Christians who are not serious, they really aren't concerned about promotion from being a scribe to a disciple of the kingdom, then they're not faithful men who are going to be able to teach others. They're just those who are saved, and thank God they touched the hem of the garment, and they're quite satisfied with being a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. We may rebuke James and John for wanting to sit on his right hand and left hand, and yet in the best sense, we should all desire to be more than doorkeepers, to want to grow, to learn, to advance, to exercise ourselves under godliness, so that we can be in the spiritual Olympics. This is what God would have us to understand. And, having asked the question, they said, yes, we have understood all of these things. The answer is, literally, because of this, because I've spoken these parables, you thought through them, you questioned me, I've given you additional light, because of this. Therefore, he gives the tenth parable, which is, every scribe who has been made a disciple of the kingdom is like unto a man that is an householder. Now think a moment. It does not say that every scribe becomes a householder. But I told you in previous weeks that every man that is referred to in the parable to Matthew 13 always speaks of Christ. The man who goes forth to sow, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The man who takes the mustard seed and sows it in his field. The man that sows the good seed in his field. The man is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, it said, if you have become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven, you are like unto a man that is an householder. Do you see? The man that's the householder is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, as he is the sower, and I told you, I cannot go into this now, he is the sower in the first instance, as he said, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now he's gone back to heaven. And he said, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine. And so in like manner, he, the man, sows the seed. But at the end, when he goes back to heaven, he says to us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so he sows, and we are to sow. And in like manner, he has taught, and now he expects us to teach. He is the householder, and we are like this householder, who is Christ. And he says, you are like unto a man who brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. And so this is what is set before us now. Christ is the householder. You realize he's already spoken of previously as a householder in Matthew 13? In the second parable, when he goes and sows good seed in his field, it says that the servants come and say to the householder, Master, Lord, didn't you sow good seed in your field? He's already been called an householder once in the second parable, and now he repeats it again. He's a householder again. But this time, he is not the householder who is sowing seed, but
but he is now the householder who is bringing out of his treasure things new and old. I told you that in some of the parables, Christ is seen as seeking the lost. When he sows the seed, the sower goes forth to see, or to sow his seed. He's seeking sinners by preaching the gospel of God. And when the net is cast into the sea, he's trying to catch fish. The Lord Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And so here are the disciples who are fishers of men. But in other parables, he is not seeking the lost, but he is teaching the saved. It says that he sows good seed in his field. The enemy comes and sows tares. And he says, let both grow together. He has sown not only for the salvation of the lost, but he has sown also for the building up of the body of Christ in the world. And in this last parabolic application, it is not preaching that sinners might be saved, but it is bringing forth out of his treasure things new and old. It is not the gospel message alone. And so many people that are slothful say, oh, I love to hear the gospel. Why? They do not have to think. That's why. They do not want to apply themselves. They do not want to have the Lord Jesus to challenge them. Have you understood all these things? They want to say, well, I know that Jesus died for me and rose again. Thank God for that rudimentary knowledge of Christ. But he says, have you understood all of these things? And if you have, then we have been promoted. And having been promoted, you notice that he is the householder. And he says, if you have been promoted, you've been made a disciple of the kingdom of heaven, and you are likened to a man that brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. Then, when I sow the seed to save sinners, I'm likened to the sower, which is Christ. And when I bring treasures out and dispense unto the people of God, I'm likened to Christ, that supreme example, that householder, because that is what he did. He brought out things new and old. And let me tell you this, to show you the symmetry of these parables, it is so remarkable, you had the word treasure previously. Where? You say, why, oh yes, I remember. It says that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man who found a treasure in a field. And I told you that I believe that that treasure is the people of God, from reading other references in the Old and in the New Testament. Because the treasure for which the man went and sold all that he had and bought that field. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes, he became poor, that he through his poverty might be made rich. And so we have the Lord Jesus doing that. And here the treasure is the people of God. You say, well then, the very fact that you say the treasure is the people of God, you contradict yourself. Because you can't say that as a teacher you bring forth the people of God. No. But if you had learned the first two parables, you would understand the symmetry between the twofold use of treasure. In the first parable, what is the seed? He tells the seed is the word of God. Fine. In the second parable, there is seed. What is it? You say, not the word of God there, but the word of God effectually working upon the hearts of men, the people of God. In the first parable, the seed is the word of God. In the second parable, it is the people of God. 1, 2. In the last of the parables, he has a treasure once and then treasure again. In the first instance, the treasure is the people of God, and then in the last instance, it is the word of God. 1, 2, 2, 1. He has prepared you to anticipate this double use of a treasure. Treasure being the people of God and being the Word of God. And therefore, since this treasure I take to be as the Word of God, what is the householder doing? He is not only sowing the seed that sinners might be saved, but he is teaching them things that are additional truths. He is letting them grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by imparting unto them treasure. And he tells us what the Word of God is like, what truth is like. He said it's like unto treasure that a man brings forth and I'm asking you, how rich
are you?
You say, well, I can show you my bank account.
That is one thing.
But tell me, show me your spiritual bank account. If I needed $100 and I went to you and you had money, you could bring out of your treasure $100 and relieve my physical need. But if I come to you with spiritual impoverishment and I want spiritual enrichment, what could you bring forth? Penny? If I challenge you to give me the interpretation of these parables, can you bring forth treasure out and share it with me? If not, you are a spiritual pauper. And that is why Christ said, have you understood all of these things? And the answer was, yes. Let me tell you something that amused me the other day. One of the young men that I've been speaking to in the past has been collecting tapes. They prayed me until I let them take the messages that I've been giving. And so I was at his home, and he had some friends in his home. And I heard him talking to a friend. He said, come out here. He said, I want to show you some things. He said, look at all these tapes I have. This is John Mills speaking on Matthew 13. This is John Mills speaking on so-and-so. I said, no, I'd like to have those tapes. It sounds very interesting. You see, he had all of these treasures, and he could bring them forth if you take treasures as truth. And so if this is so, I can go to the world and say, come to me. I have this treasure. I have the interpretation that the Lord Jesus gave of Matthew 13. Would you like to hear it? Yes, I certainly would. And so that's the treasure I have. But if you have not understood these things, and a man comes and says, give me understanding, then you are a pauper. You can do nothing. You are not like Philip in Acts chapter 8. The Ethiopian eunuch is reading Isaiah 53. And Philip joins himself. And the eunuch says to him, of whom is this man speaking? Of himself or another? And Philip, beginning at that very scripture, preached unto him Jesus. Philip was wealthy. He could give an interpretation of Isaiah 53. Are you able to do it? Then you are still a spiritual pauper. But Philip had the spiritual means. He had the spiritual treasure to bring forth and share with those that were poor. And it's not only a responsibility to give to those that are in need, to feed the hungry in a temporal way to care for the bodies of men, but you have a spiritual debt as well. Have you read the book of Romans when Paul said, I am debtor to all men? A debtor? Yes. You have a spiritual debt to pay to all men, and you offer them the gospel. If they refuse the gospel, at least, you have discharged your debt to society, and I have a debt as well. I have my debt to you as a teacher of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when you come to me, I am to impart to you any of the treasures that the Savior has given me. This is what he did. All through the gospel, he was bringing out of his treasure, his measureless treasure, things new and old. And he also provided for his own when he went back to heaven. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and he will guide you into all truth. He had treasure that he gave us when he was on earth. And he said, when I go back to heaven, the Spirit himself will continue to give unto you these treasures. And that is what God wants us to do. And the treasures are things new and old. What does this mean? Let me tell you this, and see if it's acceptable to you. All of the instructed Jews to whom our Savior spoke would be familiar with the book of Numbers. And if you ask, do you remember reading or hearing about the Israelites sinning and being bitten by the fiery serpents in the wilderness? Why, of course I do. And what did Moses do? Why, he made a serpent of brass and he put it on a pole and he lifted it up. And if anybody looked at that serpent on the pole, then they were healed. I know that. Fine. I brought out something. Gold. But the Savior in John chapter 3 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. Can you see? Here is something old and something new.
And he brings out things new and old. Nothing different, but an explanation of what has been there all along. And it is not that I'm to bring you the old, the stale, the things that you are so familiar with, but I'm to tell you the old. And then as the Savior said, that serpent in the wilderness is myself. Tell me, of what was the material in the tabernacle made, you say, of fine, fine linen? What's the significance of that? Have you read Hebrews 10? It says, the veil, which is his flesh. And so, the veil is one thing, but the veil being his flesh, that is something new. And the Lord Jesus said, it is up to you to bring out of your treasure of comprehension of the Word of God. Have you understood these things? Yes, I've understood. Then you have treasure, and then you have to bring out of your treasure things new and old. Moses taught, the prophets taught, and now the sword, the Lord Jesus, comes forth, and he teaches, and he expects us to understand all of these things and to teach others. We are lost. By God's grace, we're saved. We're saved by God's grace, we're taught. We are taught, and by God's grace, we become teachers. The Lord has great expectations that us realize them all. Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful for this adventure that is ours in life as thy Savior, as our Savior of children. We're so glad that he has saved us, that he patiently tolerated us all of this time, and he loved us. We are thankful that he does not accept slipshod and shabby work. We are thankful that he expects much of us, and at times he is disappointed. Have you not spoken of grieving and quenching thy spirit? And so we pray that we may fulfill to the greatest capacity whatever gift thou hast given us. If we have 5 talents, let us realize 5. If we have 2, let us realize 2. If we have 1, let us not bury it. But let us live up to the fullness of the potential that is within us. And so save souls in each Christian, and may we have the joy of bringing forth things out of our treasures, things new and old. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, we pray.